Everybody can take their seats. I'm going to call the meeting back to order. Thank you. We're going to revert back up to number 8 on the agenda under finalizations. John, are you with us? There you are. You can see us sitting back here behind Mike. We're going to talk about fish limits first. Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, and Secretary Roland. This afternoon, we have a series of finalizations from proposals that were made by the commission back in the month of July. I would ask that you turn to the first finalization sheet that's entitled Bait, Private Fish Hatcheries, and Fishing Tournament. The proposals out there currently on this action sheet were to remove requirements for monthly reporting and annual reporting by licensed retail bait dealers. That is a current requirement that we believe is not needed anymore. We're able to get that information elsewhere, and it's simply an additional regulatory burden on the bait dealers. The next one is removing size restrictions on trap entrance size and mesh size restrictions for a non-commercial bait seines, nets, and traps. Now, this originated from a request from people who like to trap crayfish for consumption, not for use as bait. And by having a larger size opening and removing those restrictions, they're able to do it. We also don't believe that any of, or we believe the removals of those other requirements is not going to be detrimental to game fish or any of our population. The third one there eliminates the annual fish health and aquatic invasive species inspection requirements for private hatcheries. The majority of the control of fish diseases in South Dakota actually occurs when the fish are imported into the state. We have importation requirements for the fish from outside of South Dakota. Outside hatcheries have to show their fish health certificates and their AIS inspection information to us. Our hatcheries have to do the same when they export. By removing this particular regulatory burden, the exporters would still have to meet that requirement that would be required by receiving states, the states they're exporting to. But if you have a private hatchery that's in state, you would not have to spend the money on the fish health testing and the AIS inspection. Be a savings there. And the fourth regulation change on this sheet would be changing the definition of tournaments, of where the age would change to 18 from 17, so that an event that is people age 17 and younger would not be considered a tournament and require a permit as such. I'd be happy to address any questions that you may have on these proposals up for finalization.
Do you have any questions for John and me? We could do them all under one umbrella.
Mr. Chair.
Yep. Again, John Cattillion, staff attorney for the park. Just to maybe clarify for the commission so you know exactly what items you're voting on for this actual finalization. If you're looking at your agenda, and Mr. Lott, please feel to jump in and correct if I'm wrong, but it looks like finalization number, item number 10, which is the bait regulation, finalization item number 13, and finalization item number 14. So you'd be taking the final action on those three items. It's just listed in one finalization action sheet.
So it's on one action sheet, we can do it all under one umbrella, one motion.
I'm comfortable with that, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Very well. Would anybody like to make that motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mr. Chair, the next action sheet that we'll be addressing is on aquatic invasive species. And here there's current proposals on creating an exemption for lakeshore property owners to possess and to transport aquatic invasive species for the purpose of disposing in a manner that's not likely to spread them. In other words, if they have them on their beach or or on their boat dock, they're able to remove them. Technically, they're not allowed to possess an aquatic invasive species or transport it. This would be an exemption so that they're able to deal with those on their property and dispose of them. The second proposed change has to do with creating exemptions for watercraft that are and boatless, things like that, that are in infested waters that have zebra mussels. And these would allow a lakeshore property owner or a person who stores their boat at a marina at that lake to remove their boat from the water and to launch it again into that same body of water and to store either at the marina or on their lakeshore property without having to remove the zebra mussels from that boat list or water track. The idea there is they're not going to be transported to any new body of water, and there isn't a chance for spread. It again removes a regulatory burden for them where there isn't a chance of spread if they're staying within the constraints of the exemption. There also is a exemption there for boats and blinds that are used for hunting a waterfowl, where you're allowed to have the exemption would allow you to have a vegetation on your boat or your blind, where currently in statute, a boat or a blind, a conveyance, as we call them, anything that's able to move water or aquatic invasive species, and you would not be able to have vegetation on. The requirement there is that the vegetation be cut above the water line to help to minimize the chance of spreading plants among waters as well. And the third one is repeal of two current decontamination rules. Currently, there are requirements if you use a water infested with zebra mussels that if you're not able to drain all the water out of your boat, or you have your boat in the water continuously for 3 or more days, that boat be decontaminated before its next launch. And these were recommended and proposed for repeal because we've learned a bit about the transportation of invasive species and zebra mussels since the time these were put in place. And there's new evidence out there that shows that those veligers, the microscopic zebra mussels that are newly hatched and you're not able to see, when they're in water, and as an example in a ballast tank, that there's high mortality on those within a couple days. About 95% of the veligers in water in a ballast tank in a wakeboard boat were shown to die within 48 hours of being in there. It's also at times hard to locate a place to decontaminate your boat. So those two things are a reason for removing the requirement that you decontaminate a boat that has a gallon or a water still in it. You get 3 days of storage in a body of water. It's been learned that zebra mussels are able to colonize the boats actually faster than that. But those small, we went from the veligers we were talking about that are in the water and floating to what they call the settler, which is the newly settled zebra mussel on the hull of a boat. And those are very susceptible to desiccation when they're on a watercraft outside of the water. And they should also experience high mortality. So the current thought out there on managing for zebra mussels and other aquatic invasive species to reduce their spread is to focus on clean, drain and dry, where you're making sure there aren't plants, there aren't vegetation, there isn't mud on the watercraft, and there aren't mussels. In the state of Minnesota, they believe a lot of their zebra mussels are transported on plants on boat trailers between waters. So that's that's a shift in our focus that we're recommending and repealing those two decontamination rules is associated with that. Be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Anyone have any questions for John on these two exemptions and the repeal of the AR? You know, when you're talking about the self-storage or your bulk flip and you store it on your own property, how long can you think survive once you take it out in?
Zebra mussels out of the water, it all depends on the temperature, the amount of humidity. If you will pull your boat in the fall and you store it in your yard, as soon as we get freezing temperatures and they freeze, they will die. In the Oakland water period, it all depends on the temperature. The cooler the temperature, the longer the period would be, and also the humidity is a factor there. And what they often see is that when they're moved out of the water, in the open water period, they close their shell and they're able to survive that way for a number of days.
Yes. Say, for instance, you're talking pulling the boat out, and you have to keep it in that location. If they wanted to take it home, they're still going to have to fill in.
Commissioner Spring, that would be correct. Yes. The idea is that if you're transporting it on the road, if it's not being taken to a specific location to be decontaminated, or if it is not being stored on your lakeshore property or at a marina on the lakeshore, then you would have to have that boat be muscle free in that case. Yes.
Any other questions? If you're looking on your sheet, we're on number 15, aquatic at least species, and I do entertain a motion to pass that money vision. There's been a motion and a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Sean. I think you still got
a few more. Mr. Chair. Yeah. The next two would be fish limits and coop nets and set lines. They're on one action sheet. I'm not sure what their numbers are on the agenda.
Eight and nine.
And this is basically the catfish page, I call it, because we have the proposal for fish limits is about establishing standard catfish regulations with the state of Iowa on border waters with Iowa. So for us, that's pretty much the Big Sioux River. And this is tied back to about a year ago. If you remember, there was a change in the regulations for flathead catfish, where statewide inland waters, you established a one catfish over 30 inches of one flathead catfish per day, over 30 inches as a part of the daily limit, as a standard for inland waters and also the Nebraska border waters. So, here and visiting the state of Iowa, they believe this same regulation package will pass through their regulation process, and us doing the same would mean we have a common set of regulations on both our Nebraska and Iowa border waters, and then with each of those states as well. The next two proposals that are up for finalization have to do with coop nets and set lines. And number two there is standardizing the gears that you're allowed to use in inland waters that are open to the use of set lines, coop nets, and traps right now. Currently, you're allowed to use coop nets, traps, and set lines in the inland portions of the Missouri River, so everything in our state boundaries. The Missouri River proper, then you're also allowed to use set lines in the western tributaries of the Missouri River, and then Shade Hill, Belfouche, and Angostura, a reservoir out west. What this would do is add in the hoop nets and the traps into the western tributaries and those three western reservoirs as the methods of take. It would also establish boat lines as an option two set lines if you're using a set line light. You could either have your set line out there with a tag on it, or you'd be able to use up to 10 float lines, which are just basically a float, a piece of line, a weight, and a bus. If you're using float lines, they would have to be attended, where the set line, you are able to set that and then fish it for a certain number of hours. The float lines is something we've been asked about over time to increase opportunity as another way to enjoy catfish and rockfish fishing. One consideration with that is that by having float lines and the hoop net and a set line and trap chapter, you're not allowed to use whole bait fish on that. So that helps reduce the catch of other game fish besides catfish. The third recommended, or the third proposal out there right now has to do with simply modifying the chapter title to include all the methods of take that are included.
Any question for John on this? You have 8 and 9, but they're both on the same action sheet. We can handle them under one motion. Is there any question?
Move to approve.
A motion by Commissioner Sharp.
Second.
Second by Commissioner Locken. Any discussion on the motion? And now, all in favor, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
And Mr. Chair, the last action sheet that has to do with the finalizations that I'm sharing with you today is on spearing. It will also include blow guns as well. And just to sum up the proposals in the department, I recommend the change. There were petitions that were presented to the commission earlier this year. The first one was on spearing, and that requested that the commission open up all inland waters to spearing game fish, and that the other current restrictions we had in place stay in place. So if all inland waters would be open, and then you would not be able to take a salmon, a salmon and trout species in the Black Hills on lakes that have a daily limit of one walleye, our trophy lakes, spearing of walleyes would not be allowed, and then you would not be able to spear on those on lakes that are currently managed for muskies as well. So that is the spearing portion, was to extend it statewide to all waters and keep the current restrictions we have in place pretty much. And then the blow gun petition was very general. It simply asked that blow gun be allowed as a method of taking fish and game fish and rough fish. So the department recommended changes to proposal are to put that blow gun, or to put blow guns as a method of take inside the spearing chapter. Currently in the spearing chapter, we have legal spears or surface spears like you would use in a dark house. There are underwater spear guns. There's bow and arrow and crossbow. The staff recommendation here is to add in blow guns as a fifth method and include it that way in the spearing regulations. You'd be able to use it for taking rough fish any time of the day or night in inland waters, as an example. And then the same restrictions that would apply to game fish spearing, all you'd be doing there would be adding in blow guns as another method within the game fish spearing rule. I'd be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair, on that recommendation.
Do you have any questions for John and me? Commissioner Locken.
Yeah, Commissioner Locken again. Run this by which waters are available for spearing, spear guns. Run that by me again.
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Locken, I will. It's very confusing. We get a little bit simpler every time we address it. Right now, what it would be if these proposals were finalized, you would be able to spear, you're already able to spear a rough fish a year round in South Dakota day or night. and you can use any of those methods to take. What this would do would be expand the game fish spearing opportunities. Currently, we have the Missouri River main stem, the Nebraska boundary waters, I think pike and catfish on the Minnesota boundary waters, and then a series of eastern South Dakota lakes, and I believe Pactola, that we open for game fish spearing. Pactola is not open to spearing up trout or salmon. There has not been issues observed by expanding it to that level as we did in 2017. But this petition asks that it be open to all inland waters. So pretty much this would be for all inland waters with exceptions, as were stated in the petition, of no salmonids, so no trout and salmon in the Black Hills, no spring walleyes in lakes that have a daily limit of one walleye, and leaving the lakes that are currently closed to spearing out pike still closed because those lakes contain muskies, and there's chance that a person would misidentify a muskie as a pike and harvest it. The idea with blow guns is to simply add them in as another method of take with the spears, the spear guns, the crossbows, the bows for inland waters, not on boundary waters. The administrative rules that are included show specifically what would still be included in the game fish spearing rule. One additional comment on that is that with it being only inland waters, blow guns again would not be on the Nebraska and Minnesota boundary waters.
Through the chair. So the person that's diving with a spear gun now will basically be able to go to most of the inland waters, providing there isn't a one walleye limit on that lake. Is that correct?
That is.
Okay, thank you.
If I may add, Mr. Chair, a couple of the main limiting factors, even if the opportunity to expand it statewide to most bodies of water. For open water diving, there's an issue with the temperature of the water. You're not going to have your divers out when it's very cold, usually. And then as the water begins to warm, there's an issue with the clarity as well. So I think what we're seeing here is expanding it statewide would provide people who enjoy doing this the opportunity to do it in those time periods where it is something you could do in the traditional body of water. It may be that your dark house spearing for pike, let's say Antelope Lake by Arlington there, and you have a walleye that swims through, this would allow you then to spear a walleye.
Thank you. Any other questions? John on this. I know it might get into the weeds too much, but the blowgun thing, like a spear or archery, you have a tethered line to it. Are you doing the same with the blowgun? Is there actually going to be a line that goes out with that?
You are, Mr. Chair. Actually, one of the things we have to do when we add in something like a blowgun is define it in rule. And the definition of a blowgun is a tube through which a projectile with at least one barbed point attached to the blowgun by a line, such as a dart, may be propelled by the force of the breath. So the ones I've seen, it's basically the fishing rod and the end is cut off. You put the barbed projectile in the end, and that's attached onto your fishing line on a reel that goes through the guides on the rod. You press the button on the spool, and then at the back of the rod, it's open, and that's the place you blow. And I never considered doing it. Whoever thought of it, very inventful, and but it is something that would provide additional opportunity to those who would wish to pursue it. So you are able to retrieve them because there is a line if the barb would stick.
Any other questions?
So the blow gun, is that very efficient? It's just more of a chance to blow fish in the way. Does it come out at all?
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Spring, I know of no statistics on it. In watching some of the videos on YouTube, here I am using YouTube as my data set, like something that would use Wikipedia, but it seems like at times they go in and they hold the fish, you know, the barb does. The one group of species they're talking about is panfish that's going to take. There's other species where that barb would bounce off if they don't hit exactly right. They were taking gar and other fish as well as bluegills on this video on YouTube.
Maybe we can host the world championship of that someday with the Carta archery this year. So, any other questions?
Yes. Don, the spawning particularly walleye, called it. That's the one who will bring the river camp. Wine carrying the walleye in the water, if it's built in the walleye, is that a good thing? You know, fishing is popular, but they have
bikes. Yes, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Whitmire, that is an excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up. What we currently have in administrative rule is that, except for pike and catfish, the season on game fish is closed in the month of April. So you can start to spear on May 1. It goes then through the end of March. But that month of April, when you have a lot of your fish in shallow spawning, it would be closed to take it over, except for pike and catfish.
Any other questions? Seeing none, I entertain a motion.
I've got a question to the council. Can we still drop this whole blowgun deal? You know, somebody put a proposal in, never showed up, throws it out to us. I'm not really confident on this deal enough to do it. You know, the way it's turning out, we keep hoping the person that put the proposal in is going to represent himself. Where are we standing on this?
Mr. Chair? Commissioner Locken, yes. So you can still amend this finalization. So your amendment would include something to the effect of removing all references to the blowgun petition. And I think what you would have left then for your petition, if that amendment were to go through, then your finalization would just include opening the steering to inland waters. So you could amend this finalization to exclude any of the blowgun provisions.
I would make that motion. I just don't think as a body, if somebody just throws a proposal out there and doesn't represent it, and I don't know enough about it to say yes, it's going to be viable, or no, it's not going to be viable. I would drop the blowgun at this point in time. I would make that a motion.
Second to the motion, is there anyone to consider to the motion to amend? Seeing none, all in favor of the amendment, can you give a say aye?
Aye.
Any opposed? Actually, so we will now go on to the adoption of the finalization of the amended, and I will entertain a motion for that.
Okay.
Sorry. Motion and a second. Discussion on the motion. Seeing none, all in favor, by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
that he expects.